I am the best wrestler in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day because Paul Heyman saw something in me that nobody else wanted to admit. I've grabbed so many of Vincent K. McMahon's imaginary brass rings that it's finally dawned on me that they're just that. They're completely imaginary. The only thing that's real is me, and the fact that day in and day out, for almost 6 years, I have proved to everybody in the world that I am the best on this microphone, in that ring, even in commentary. Nobody can touch me.
Heyman, because this is episode 50 of CM Jew's Wrestling Reviews right here on the Absolution Network. We have made it down the hardcore road to episode 50, and tonight we review the sequel to the greatest wrestling pay-per-view of all time in ECW One Night Stand 2006. And of course, for such an epic achievement of 50 episodes, I have to be joined by some special guests. So from the WrestleCast, people who just made it to 300 and are probably telling me, 50? The fuck off. Maddie J and TWK from the WrestleCast.
Colt Cabana's bestiality.
It's going to be funny to listen to that post, or after I do post, where I have, because for those who listen, that I put Cult of Personality in the background of the beginning, so I'm going to have that in the background, then you're going to be playing that. So that's going to be fun to listen to.
It's double personality.
Yes.
I thought you were just rubbing in the Chicago Blackhawks winging the Stanley Cup.
Fuck you!
You were so confident that freaking the Lightning was gonna win.
You were.
Yeah.
You were.
Oh, I absolutely were. And then they got injured in the finals and things happened.
Oh, more excuses from the peanut gallery.
Oh, for
it's not excuses.
Six games. Barry. You see that pile? That pile over there? That's a pile of fucks I don't give. Six games. If they were that injured, it would have been a sweep.
Yeah, well, they got injured during the series.
Still, would have been a sweep.
Yeah, well, you know, it also says something when our star goalie gets hit in the back of the goddamn motherfucking head.
Well, that's a tough game. You should wear a helmet.
I'm just saying, you know, the NHL says we're so worried about concussions.
That seems to be just a hot topic issue in sports in general, with general managers constantly saying how worried they are about concussions, and yet what do they do about it, really? What are they doing?
Well, you know, it's just because players want to play, but, you know, then they have to, because they want to let their players play, but at the same point in time, you know, then when their career is up, they want to blame, like, why didn't you stop me? And, you know, it's kind of funny, this does have a wrestling-related thing because, you know, WWE, you know, there are things they don't do anymore that I wouldn't be surprised if they do once again once all these lawsuits that are going on get resolved. Some of them, I'm shocked, they haven't been thrown out yet. Like the one by Mabel's widow. Which, I, with all due respect to Mabel, you know, I'm sure he's a great person. But, you know, there were other things wrong with him other than concussions.
See, I don't know which one to go to, Scott Steiner or Scott Steiner. Which one, boys?
Well, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but the guy was pretty huge, and that could have been a contributing factor.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. Is that he was a very large individual.
It's sort of like, you know, if you were to die, I don't think your family would sue McDonald's.
Exactly.
And you are very self-admitted that you are a fat man.
I am a proud of fat man.
Yes.
Though I would like to be a skinny man because girls apparently like the skinny.
Oh, there are plenty of girls that like fat dudes. You know that.
Unless you're in Japan, then you apparently like your men fat, hairy, and black.
Really?
Crazy?
Do you have statistics to back this up?
Of course.
Do you have the statistics and millions of dollars so we could... Well, never mind.
Again, referencing a story I was talking about before we went on the air.
Yes.
I've already forgotten it.
Same here. I've done so many of these things. It's like, who did what now? What did I say 5 episodes ago?
Well, yeah, well, you guys have made it to 300 recently.
Yeah.
So you're probably saying 50. Get back to us when you get to 150.
Yeah, I think around 150 or so was when I joined the WrestleCast.
Yeah, just about, yeah. It's like, 50, get out of here! I feel like David Letterman. Letterman, after returning from his quadruple bypass surgery, yeah, thank you. People go and say, how many doubles? A double? I said, how many bypasses? 2. I laugh at him!
Well, now that the Supreme Court has ruled, there's an Obamacare for that.
Oh!
Well, imagine Canada already has better health care than us.
That is indeed true.
It's why Jerry Lawler is alive today.
Goddamn yes. Right. And you can't teach that.
Although we are currently on the road to the Canadian health care system.
Hopefully.
It's an arduous road full of Republican pit stops.
And assholes. Mostly assholes.
That's why I said Republican pit stops.
Deep, deep pit stops. I mean, they're really dirty.
Yeah. Once
again, I said Republican pit stops. I thought all this was inferred.
See, well, some people might not understand. You're being politically incorrect. We're just being honest.
We're all being honest.
We're being assholes. That's what we are because it's what we're good at.
Goddamn right.
I'm an asshole.
Speaking of which, for those interested, SNN Radio returns 3 weeks from tonight.
Yeah.
Supporting.
Cheap plug.
I got cheap plug. Ustream.com/channel/CineRadio.
No, but you see, Tito, if you just come out and say it, that's not how you properly pimp something. When you pimp something, you gotta flow into it naturally. You know, like, for instance, you know, because we're like Drowning Pool. We're a bunch of sinners. And speaking of sinners, in 3 weeks, Sinner Radio is coming back, and you better make sure if you're a sinner that you're listening to it.
Well, he's actually for the past...
That's how you pimp a show!
Well, for the past year, he's rebranded it as SNN Radio.
But you get my point.
Yes. SNN Radio, July 18th, Saturday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, hosted by the gracious LC. Very entertaining. In fact, one of the most entertaining people in this entire community.
The man who apparently gave, according to Hairpaw, gave you the greatest WrestleCast moment of all time.
Definitely top 5 for sure.
Well, it's WrestleMania 28, too. That... I think it was one of the comments. I think it was Enigma Extreme.
Yes, Enigma saying.
He just made a joke.
Yeah, he said one of his matches was the greatest of all time, and it was
which
a notoriously bad match.
He just sent LC into an absolute tizzy.
I still have that on my computer, that rage out.
I do too. So it's currently in the external hard drive, which is turned off, but
but I have the button, so I may play it in post.
Oh, you have it as well.
Yes, I have the button.
Jesus, who doesn't have the OC Rage Out button?
Well,
I'm sure the Republicans wish they had the button now.
Oh, I got
queers think they can ruin God's marriage.
Anyway,
boogie boogie.
Yeah, we're talking about ECW tonight because we're talking about ECW One Night Stand 2006.
Oh, is that what we're here for?
Yeah. Trying to get us back on track.
I thought we were just here to teabag Republicans.
or you know, call them LC.
You stupid motherfucking auntie cocksucking goddamn piece of shit, dingle fucking piece of shit. How the fuck do you consider that the greatest match of all fucking time? You motherfucker!
That felt good. That felt good.
But to try to turn this back on track, because again, I'm pretty sure a lot of people like myself considered ECW One Night Stand 2005 one of the greatest pay-per-views of all time.
Definitely.
Agreed. I mean, just everything about that pay-per-view was goddamn perfect. And this, you know, tonight we are reviewing ECW One Night Stand 2006, the pay-per-view that had the dubious honor to try to match it. And, you know, again, going into it, you got to realize there's really no way to, because you can't top perfection. Once you set that bar that high, you know.
I think one of the main problems was the fact that nobody saw One Night Stand coming. I remember getting like a poster calendar and seeing ECW on there, and I was like, what the hell is that going to be?
And then with 2006, they did see it coming.
Yes.
It's what it is. I don't think people were expecting an emotional night with some good matches and a storyline so the kiddies that don't know what the fuck ECW is could be invested in it. What we got was ECW's the greatest send-off to the old school ECW that you could ever get.
And then comes 2006, where again, and I think this is one of the things that really hampered 2006, and I think, for that matter, the new rebirth of the ECW, is that you had the bar set so high.
The way I see it, though, I don't see it as, it's like apples and oranges. One Night Stand 2005, in my opinion, was a standalone thing. They had a couple of attached storylines and stuff, but it was all towards the one thing, and then a couple of weeks later, it was business as usual in WWE lane. Mm-hmm. That's 2005. Mm-hmm. 2006 was, like you said, you mentioned, was relaunching the new, was the new brand.
And it was a new ECW on Sci-Fi Channel.
Plus TV show. Plus you had to get a new champion. Plus you had all the extra shit. You didn't have that last the year before. All you had was, ECW didn't have like a proper send-off, so we're going to give you a proper send-off. Oh, and we're going to do it in one of the loudest buildings you've ever performed in front of. Oh, and we're gonna give you some help. Get a few extra eyeballs on it. Oh, and we're gonna give you JBL. We're gonna give Austin studying the fuck out of Eric Bischoff.
but again, going back to 2006, is that they also had less matches, or at least it seemed like that.
Definitely less ECW matches. Most of the matches are WWE versus ECW.
And you know, but again, I'm also trying to transition this into what the new ECW was, which not a lot of people liked.
Paul Heyman
has said that he hated it and called it an abomination.
True, but here's how I see the two One Night Stands. They're standalone, and you know, if you just look at them as just their separate entity and not, especially in 2006, if you look at it as just a separate entity and don't worry about the other shit, let's call that, it was shit. I should know, I watched it. if you I don't think we should devalue 2006 for what happened after.
No, I'm not devaluing it because of what happened afterwards. But I do think it is, when we're talking about why the new PCW failed, I do think that, you know, you had a lot of fans who weren't there for ECW. Their first taste of ECW was 2005.
Yeah.
And so you have the bar for them being set so high, and we'll figure out tonight whether we think maybe in some form or another 2006 matched it, but the new relaunched ECW didn't match it at all.
I don't think it's right. I think it's a case of what was the intention, to match it, or to actually try to match it, or to just say, okay, we're not gonna match that. That was a standalone thing. Let's just do what we always do: take something simple and complicate. Or was that Tremors 3?
The thing I noticed though is that there's the same amount of matches, but there's more time given to more matches on 2006 than 2005.
Yeah, there was more time. That's what I'm noticing too. But
it just seemed like the matches were more action-packed in 2005.
Yes.
True, yeah.
They were more allowed to be the ECW style rather than adjust to the WWE style wrestling.
And another thing was the crowd.
Crowd.
Because the crowd in 2005, don't get me wrong, they said their FU chants and all of that stuff.
But it was mostly positive, and a lot of the wrestlers, I mean, of course, they went after JBL. Oh, yeah, they went after JBL hard. But
it was mostly positive, where in 2006... it was goddamn war.
Yep, the minute John Cena stepped in, you knew he was fucked.
At some points, I'll talk about this throughout the review, at some points it was fun, don't get me wrong, but at other points it hurt my enjoyment. It's like, okay, we get it, you don't like this guy, I would like to listen to, you know, Taz, and I know this is strange to say, but I like to listen to Taz and Joey Styles call, and I'd like to enjoy the match. What shocked me is they booed Rey Mysterio.
Well, it's because he wasn't a part of ECW. Because beforehand, they had Paul Heyman come out on SmackDown and say, hey, Rey, come out to ECW. And Rey Mysterio's like, no, I want to stay in WWE.
Well, I know that part, but I didn't think that they would boo him just for that.
Well, when you're going one-on-one against Sabu and saying you're proud WWE, and you're going against ECW icon Sabu, you know.
It's a case of the bout reminds LeBron.
It was surreal to me and strange.
I think it's weird. You said right when in 2006 it was clearly WWE versus ECW.
Also, I'd like to know, in 2008, when Rey Mysterio had a match with Edge, Rey Mysterio was also booed, and that was also a match in New York. New York does not like WWE version Rey Mysterio.
Which is strange, because they cheered the hell out of him in 2005.
Because he was being ECW Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
They announced him, they even pronounced his name as Rey Mysterio Jr. on 2005.
I think that's semantics. I would cheer for him either way.
I know, it's just, you know, they're trying to show their support for ECW and booing anybody who flies the WWE banner.
Yeah. Let's put it this way. The crowd was entirely ECW, was partisan ECW.
Let's say it was kayfabe.
Yeah, they were chasing ECW all the way. Anybody that flew the WWE flag even a little bit, boo!
I say. That was a textbook ECW. That's how a crowd should react. You know? Simple as that.
And now they're all in Florida and they go to NXT tables.
Isn't that the way of the land, though? It should be. Should that guy be chanting, how are you doing?
And to be fair, we know that's not the ECW crowd in NXT because they haven't asked one chick on that roster to suck their dick yet.
Or show their tits.
Yes.
Though, I will say this, when Lita came out, I'm surprised nobody did a, where is Danny? Where is Danny?
Oh, Danny Doring.
Yes.
Because that was who she managed.
And it was apparently his fiancé for the little time she was in ECW.
Obviously K-Fan.
Yes. I know, because I watched the... I think I reviewed one of the... Which ECW pay-per-view was it that I reviewed this past year?
I know she was only on for like one or two shows.
Yeah. One of them was a pay-per-view. It was a pay-per-view where Danny and Roadkill faced Romeo and something Nova.
Oh, Supernova?
I believe so, yeah. Think so. I could be wrong.
And she lost her there, and she was a manager that was Miss Congeniality, right?
I can't remember what she called herself. All I know is that Danny Doring put a condom on her finger as a ring.
Oh, of course.
That's the only thing I goddamn remember about.
Clearly Paul Heyman was running out of ideas at that point.
Yeah. Well, this was 1999, I think.
Yeah, after 98, he was definitely starting to sort of run a bit of ideas and just sort of trying to be exhausted overall of the entire process of running the company.
And, you know, at this point, say, hey, Paul, what do we do? I don't know, smash shit. We're smashing shit! Yay! And Paul, I'm not even trying to motivate you guys.
Here's another question, though,
to ask. Sorry, I should have begun with, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Paul Heyman, and then Ghost Man.
But, you know, I think it's also interesting to think about, you know, again, in 2006, it still wasn't known of the extent that WWE did help and how Vince McMahon was very supportive of ECW. Because of WWE Network and like ECW Exposed and Paul Heyman's...
Paul Heyman still says he never got a dime from Vince McMahon directly for ECW. It's because they signed Two Cold Scorpio, who signed a deal with a record company who was paying them.
I understand that, but he's also talked about that Vince was very supportive of ECW. You know, it's part of the reason he brought them in to Raw in, what was it, 97?
Yes, 97.
To
hype Barely Legal, because at that time half of their crew was overseas.
Yeah. And so, you know, it seems to me that, you know, I wonder if the attitude towards WWE would have been different if people knew just how much, you know, Vince, maybe not financially, but did support ECW.
Maybe, but I still think that at this point, the company seems very corporate in that sort of counterculture that it once was, especially with John Cena, who the fans very much viewed as the corporate boy.
Yep.
Still to this day, too.
He really is a modern-day version of The Rock.
Yeah, but except that he can wrestle.
Yeah, and he hasn't left the company yet.
And he's, and more importantly, unlike The Rock, he's actually evolving his repertoire to things like Code Red.
Yes, and it's kind of interesting that he's going against somebody who's claimed to be an innovator yet hasn't changed his moveset since 2001.
You mean Kevin Owens?
I don't think changing moveset's a good thing to say. We're not going to say...
Kevin Steen
is awesome!
Well, I'm not talking about Kevin Steen.
Who are you talking about?
Rob Van Dam!
Oh, okay.
What?
I don't know where you got Kevin Steen from. He's not on this fucking card.
Oh, I think we got it because I was talking about how John Cena was changing his repertoire and I brought up the Code Red because of his recent match of the year candidate with Kevin Owens, and then you started talking about RVD and we didn't go down that road with you.
I know, I said, unlike his opponent tonight.
Ah.
Like you were tonight, which I'm referencing.
You're tonight. Yeah. And you
I'll
know what?
I can fear it until it's in the air of the night, then I'm an idiot.
I can feel it coming.
Phrasing!
Oh, come on. You did not praise Phil Collins. Why?
There's a lot of songs in the from the 80s and 70s that you can just write phrases all over.
No, no, to be fair, there's a lot of things with phrases. Like, I was just recently watching Justice League today for the review I'm going to do down the line of it. And I'm at the episode Maid of Honor where Wonder Woman is with the princess who's about to get married. And she's talking about, like, it's my last night and I want to go clubbing. And if I have my way, I'm going to go out with a bang. And I'm like,
crazy.
Oh, my. Are you actually suggesting what I'm thinking you're suggesting?
You actually want to stick a thing in Wonder Woman. Wow.
This is supposed to be a kid's show. We have a princess talking about she wants to be banged. Okay, that's it. I'm done. Bye.
Yeah, but Mattis, at this point, what do you think about it? Animaniac was doing it long before Justice League.
Yeah, but this is Justice League. This is Flash saying, going to some Playboy billionaire's house and saying, oh, I read his magazine just for the articles. But back on topic, because we're getting to Judge, we're getting to RVD, we're getting to all of that as we get into our epic review of ECW One Night Stand 2006. So it's time to give you the tale of the tape. ECW One Night Stand 2006 took place on June 11th, 2006, in New York City, New York, at the Hammerstein Ballroom in the Manhattan Center, to an attendance of 2,460. The theme song was Bodies by Drowning Pool. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get into our review of ECW One Night Stand 2006. As we start off with our first match of the night, which would also be the shortest match of the night, as Taz faced Jerry Lawler.
Or in this case, Taz choked out Jerry Lawler.
Well, let's be honest. Taz comes out to all cheers. Jerry Lawler comes out and just is perfect heel and just slaps the taste out of Joey Styles' mouth.
Pretty much.
Comes to the ring. Joey Styles comes up behind him and jumps Jerry Lawler. Jerry Lawler, like, just turns his back to Taz, throws Joey Styles off, and is like, and then gets choked out with the Taz mission.
Yeah, this match is shorter than pretty much 99% of the pay-per-view matches you'll see from the past 5 years.
It's shorter than Divas matches.
Yes.
But you know what? The funny thing about this is that this is a match that is steeped in story, in ECW lore, because in a way, this was sort of a conclusion of a storyline that took place, what was it, 97? 97, when Jerry Lawler invaded ECW And, of course, you know, with the help of RVD and Sabu.
Yeah, it was during the time where RVD made a couple appearances by himself on Raw as Mr. Monday Night. Which is where the whole nickname comes from.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, and by the way, sir, that Paul Heyman says that pay-per-view or that show is his favorite pay-per-view. It's also the pay-per-view Taz ultimately won the television title from Shane Douglas from. So, again, it's just steeped in this history. And so it's this conclusion of, you know, all the crap Jerry Lawler spoke about ECW coming to a close here. So even though it's a 35-second match, we can actually spend more than that time talking about the history coming into this match.
Yeah, everything about this match is longer than the match itself.
Pretty much.
And to be fair, you know, Jerry Lawler can get on your nerves. I mean, I'm sure he's gotten on everybody's nerves once in a while. So it was good to get, again, played the heel perfectly. And as usual, you just love to see the heel get his comeuppance.
I would have liked to have seen at least one Tazplex, though.
I could understand that. But then again, you know, we weren't in Canada, so we couldn't guarantee Jerry Lawler's safety.
Also, the one downside is that I think this was Taz's last match ever.
I believe it is. Thanks for bringing it down, T-Dub.
You're welcome.
I believe what Mattis is trying to say, T-Dub, is Dave.
But you know, overall,
CCW, where's the barbed wire? I need a candlestick.
That will all come later. But I think we can all agree, for an opening of the show, as short as it was the right way to open and get the crowd hyped.
Yeah, the crowd was definitely hyped after seeing Jerry Lawler get choked out.
Let's put it this way. No one gets a crowd hyped up more than seeing Jerry Lawler get shut the fuck up.
Especially after all those years of just going, puppies, puppies, puppies.
I don't know what you would like worse. JLR saying puppies or the match I had to watch the other day that I put the review up of One Night Stand 2007.
Is that the one with Vince McMahon as ECW champion?
Yeah. It's also the one where Candice Michelle faces Melina in a pudding match.
For the women's title, I assume.
No, it wasn't for the title.
Oh. I do know they had one of those matches for the women's title. That was so fucking stupid.
Again, by last review, check it out. To where I bring up the point, you know, which would you rather have to have? The bikini contest that actually have some athletic competition in them, or putty matches?
As our next match.
Good point. Yeah.
So our next match features the new member of ECW, the Olympic champion Kurt Angle.
It's amazing how that crowd turned babyface on him. But then again, Randy Orton was being a bitch at that point in his career.
Versus Randy Orton. Well, honestly, let's be honest, they kind of turned babyface for Kurt Angle like before WrestleMania 22.
Well, then again, he had that match the goddamn year with Shawn Michaels. I mean, it's kind of hard not to like him after that match.
After WrestleMania 21, and and of course, we've already gone down WrestleMania 22. Did we do it?
I was there.
Yeah.
I remember watching the pay-per-view as I was reviewing it.
Yes.
I don't think I was there for that one.
No, you weren't.
I know you were for 23.
Did you ever fulfill your bet?
Oh, yeah. Fuck that. Yeah, fuck.
TWK. Thank you.
All right. Let's get it out of the way.
But well, we have to set this up, okay?
No.
Yes.
We don't have to set this
yeah,
up.
Yes, yes, we do have to.
I lost. Well,
yes, but we have a piece of what the bet is.
Time, moving on.
No, that's not how it works. That's not... If I have to deal with the Lightning losing the Stanley Cup, you have to deal with this the right way, too.
Fuck!
So, we made a bet at WrestleMania that the Divas match would... I bet that the Divas match would actually be good. Matty didn't believe me. I won.
I didn't give them that much time. They did.
So, Matty has to admit something to you guys about who he thinks is the best Divas wrestler. So,
no.
Matty, take it away.
No.
You have to.
Eva Marie is the greatest wrestler of all time. Fuck.
Only on episode 50.
God damn it. I
you
feel
can
so dirty.
Because I completely forgot about that, so you could thank T-Dub for that.
T-Dub, you're fired.
You can't fire me, I quit.
By the way, your mic. Check your mic.
You can't,
Mike.
You can't fire me, I quit.
I. You're fired.
You know what? You know what? Yeah, hold on. Yeah.
You stupid motherfucking anti-cock. Piece of shit! How the fuck do you consider that the greatest match of all fucking time, you motherfucker?
And I'm gonna follow this.
When they strap me in the chair, please let them know the murder was just.
You had to invite him to the show?
Well, he is your partner in crime. So anyways, Kurt Angle versus Randy Orton.
Kurt Angle and Randy Orton having a match, Blaze. I feel dirty enough already.
I love cashing in my bets.
Yo!
But Kurt Angle, what did you guys feel about this match? Because I'm kind of mixed on this match, to be honest.
I thought this match was really, overall, pretty good.
Yeah, here's the thing. Both, I agree with T-Dub. In a way, they've played their roles perfectly. Kurt Angle was the guy I just want to kick your ass. And of course, Orton had to have had Pyro in the Manhattan Center.
He's the only one.
Pop circumstance. Hey, look at me. I'm the asshole you're supposed to hate. Pose.
He learned from the best how to be good an asshole, a.k.a. Ric Flair. But I guess the reason why I'm mixed on it is Kurt Angle, for most of this match, was actually just... In one instance, I like the fact that it was amateur wrestling. I love seeing that. But it just seemed like they were very slow, and that it wasn't so much that they were deliberate. It's like they felt like they were trying to fill time.
So they had 10 minutes of match in there that they laid out, but they had to fill 15 minutes.
Yeah. Like, I do feel like this match could have been cut by 5 minutes.
Possibly.
Which, and by the way, one thing we've kind of forgot to mention before even the Taz match, you had Paul Heyman come out and cut one great shoot promo.
Yeah, reminiscent of his promo the previous year.
Yeah. So, I mean, is there anything else that was really spectacular about this match? Because I really didn't
the
find
crowd chants mostly.
Yeah, that kind of took him over.
Yeah.
Fuck him up, Angle. Fuck him up. Fuck him up, Angle. Fuck him up.
You suck dick. You suck dick.
You suck. You're a pussy! You're a pussy!
That brings us, though, to a match that I really thought highly of, and I loved every moment of it. The full-blooded Italians of Little Guido and Tony Mameluke with Big Guido versus Yoshihiro Tajiri and Super Crazy super crazy. God damn, I love this match.
This match was all right. You know, it almost, considering everything else in this card, this almost felt like filler.
Filler, maybe, but dude, when the filler is good, you know you're having a good night.
I mean, the kicks by Tajiri.
Yes.
Woo-hoo. I was holding my chest.
Yeah, I was holding mine too.
That double brain buster.
That one hurt too.
I guess the only thing that kind of ruined it for me was Big Show coming out afterwards.
Yes, and just pretty much taking out everybody.
Yeah. That
was the debut of his theme song. Like his current theme song. And yes, I do mean current. They didn't give him that many theme songs.
It's basically the same variation over and over again.
Well, the current version used now is a lot slower than the version
a lot
used before
slower
this
came and, a lot slower and a lot better than the first one.
But same lyrics.
Yeah.
But still, it's... I didn't think he was needed, and it was just a good match between ECW alumni and, again, the full-blooded Italians getting the win.
Yeah, and you have to admit, that face-off between Big Show and Big Guido at the time was like, ooh, I want to see that.
See, now, had they actually done a match with that, I would have been fine with it.
Yeah, like, but you were hoping at the time.
Yeah, we were hoping, but when it turned out, it's like, I feel like I've been robbed of something.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is a consistent feeling you will get by watching 2006 ECW. You're welcome.
Alluding to our next match already, are you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, boy.
Before we actually get to that, out comes JBL because some motherfucker let him in the building again.
Yeah.
Cut. A terrific heel promo.
Because it's JBL, that's all he knows what how to do.
But he does it so well.
You.
And he got that again, the genius of JBL. You suck dick. You suck dick. I don't see any girls in here, and you're talking about sucking dick.
To quote JBL, storming a man in here, word. Where the fruity booty at?
Where's my bear? Where's my bear?
So, our next match was a match I was really scared about because I saw, like, wow, it's only 9 minutes. How are they going to do this match in just 9 minutes? I'm, of course, talking about Rey Mysterio versus Sabu in an Extreme Rules match for the World Heavyweight Championship. But I'll sit here and say this. The match itself, up until its finish, was action-packed, and I loved every moment
really
of
good.
It.
It was exactly what the 9 minutes before the last 10 seconds of that 9 minutes was what you would expect between Rey Mysterio and Sabu if you were putting them together. It's pretty much what it was.
Yes. I mean, first of all, the entrances by both were great. I mean, that robe by Rey Mysterio, I love that look on Rey.
Yeah, it's sort of wearing his old ECW, WCW gear.
Yeah, and I really loved it. And then just the back and forth, and I mean, but here's a reason why you need this is a much-watched pay-per-view. You want to see a Sabu match that has no botches?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a rarity.
There's one.
So we have to bring this up that this match is worth watching just for the fact it's one of the very few times Sabu doesn't fucking botch.
Actually, no. I think it botches too easy for Sabu. It's a case of it's one of the rare moments where Sabu does not fuck up.
If you often... People oftentimes talk about Sin Cara botching, but this guy is the master at it.
Yeah.
Though, oddly enough, I recently because I did wrestle Pazuza.
Palooza.
From 98 when they were in Atlanta. That 30-minute match between him and RVD. RVD was the one who was botching all over the place. Not yeah.
Who'd have thought?
Yeah.
But yeah, with this match, it's great. And the problem with the ending is just so much.
Yeah, actually, it does. I could solve that issue, that idea that the ending of that match in three simple words. Actually, four simple words. Vincent K. McMahon, asshole.
Well, the problem is, where was the storyline to that? Like, I could accept it if the storyline went somewhere. And I do think that they ultimately did have a rematch, if I remember right, on SmackDown.
I don't remember. The only SmackDown match I remember, I don't remember any SmackDown matches following this. What I remember, though, is the fact that at one point, Jimmy Noble and Kid Cash were wrestling as the Pitbulls on SmackDown for some reason. And they were literally doing the ECW Pitbulls gimmick, but it was on SmackDown.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I never understood that. If you're going to do an ECW gimmick, do it on ECW.
Yeah. But with that being said, in regards to this, it's like, that's the ultimate problem with that. You can say Vince McMahon, I do understand that, but the problem is, I wouldn't have a problem with that ending if there was like a storyline method to it. And it just seemed like there wasn't.
I think this is a good definition of a dusty finish.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Not a textbook, because obviously people they were not taking that bullshit at all.
No.
They were not.
And obviously the main reason this was done is because only one world title is going to go to ECW, and they didn't want it to be the world title.
Yeah. Well, but to also be fair, it's like that table did kind of snap kind of weird, and that...
So there was some realism to it. Just,
yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. Also, a lot of realism was people going... or you know, you may as well put it, bring in the cheeky baby in this.
Fucking bullshit!
He has the soundboard tonight, folks.
You had to.
But you know, the ending aside, I still love this match. I still love everything about it. I love the entrances. I love how hard they went at it. And as much as I wish there was more story to the ending and what happened, and let's be honest, there is an unintended good consequence from this, that it did put some doubt into people's mind of RVD winning, that there might be a screwy finish in that one, which there was, but to the other side.
Yeah,
but still,
I just don't think there would have been as big of a problem if Ray would have pinned Sabu clean.
Yeah. Ray pinning Sabu clean would have gotten a riot out of him.
No, it wouldn't.
They would have been poised.
No, if John Cena won...
You'd have fans blocking the entranceway to make sure no one interfered.
No, here's the thing.
The fans would be involved. You know
here's
that.
The thing. No, here's the thing. If Cena would have won, maybe then there would have been a riot, but not Rey Mysterio.
We'll get to what would happen if John Cena won later. Because I have some thoughts on that. But yeah, so I think we all agree, one of the best matches of the night.
Definitely a very enjoyable one.
Maddie?
What?
I said one of the best matches of the night.
Oh yeah, but why do I need to put in my thing? You said it. I agree, I don't need to say anything there.
Yeah, but we want to hear you say it. So, our next match is a Extreme Rules tag team match that turned into an Extreme Rules intergender six-person tag team match.
Yes, because before the match, Beulah came out, made her return, and pretty much challenged Lita, hey, you want to be involved in all the matches that your boy's in? Let's do it.
Well, first of all, let's talk about it. Great promos from everybody. And of course, Blue Love with that line, like, I never thought the day that the things coming out of your mouth would be more dirty than things going into it.
Oh!
So our intergender match is Mick Foley, Edge, and Lita versus Terry Funk, Tommy Dreamer, and Bula McGillicuddy.
It still looks beautiful.
Yeah.
Yep.
Also, McGillicuddy, the long lost mother of Michael McGillicuddy. How you doing? I had to bring it up.
Goddamn this match. In a good way.
They did not hold back.
Blood. I mean, holy shit, the blood. Holy shit, the tacks.
Holy shit, the barbed wire.
Barbed wire on fire!
Yeah, at one point, Terry Funk was thrown through barbed wire and had to be taken out of the match temporarily.
My God!
Because they were worried that it, like, cut his eye.
God damn it, not again!
God damn it, my
And then he comes back with a 2x4 wrapped in barbed wire and then sets it on fire.
Yeah!
And literally busts Mick Foley up to the point that Mick Foley gets cut. Plaid shirt gets caught on fire.
Pretty much.
I'm pretty sure this is the last hardcore match Mick Foley ever wrestled.
I think so,
I can't
too.
Say anything about Terry Funk, because for all I know, he still wrestled hardcore matches on the indies.
I was going to say...
Let's hope not.
I was going to say, somewhere deep in the forest of Texas, Terry Funk is taking a barbed wire wrapped 2x4 set ablaze to a grizzly bear.
How is Terry Funk this old and still this hardcore?
And of course, the bear is strapped to three tables, two of which are made of glass. One of them's on fire.
And then below him is the switch that explodes.
Pretty much.
I'm hardcore. I'm hardcore.
I will say this: I would have liked to see him try to attempt the moonsault that.
I think at this point even he's too old to do the moonsault.
You say that.
But still, I'm goddamn. Just, they did a great job of building and just building and building towards that end.
And then, out of nowhere, Edge spears Bula McGillicuddy and has a very provocative pinning for the win.
He dry-humped Bula.
I guess this is what we call...
Several times in the match.
Yes.
Yeah, this
three,
is...
Three, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, the ending to this match is what we can only call a rape pin.
Pretty much.
Oh, wow. That's
pretty much what it is.
Yeah. I can't argue with it.
Yeah.
But, you know, and the great thing is that this really, you know, they did a great job during the summer of just building up Edge as the absolute most disgusting, vile human being.
And this was pretty much the epitome of that.
Pretty much. Yeah, and it really drove his heel character that we would see for the next 4 or 5 years.
Until they decided to turn him face because nobody wanted to boo him anymore.
Yeah.
I can't boo him! I love him!
Wow, Matty J has transferred from Montreal to Georgia.
Well, no, I was actually referring to how Spinny would refer about Highlander fans as like these guys on the tops with those domestic abuse bitches that refuse to divorce him because I can't leave him. I love him.
Oh my God, what else happened in this match?
I'm pretty sure everyone took a bump through a barbed wire board.
Except
the suplexing of the barbed wire board. Yeah. God damn it. There was that sort of weird moment where you thought, here comes Sandman, and he never came.
I know, instead it was Terry Funk. I honestly thought that Sandman, because he teamed with Tommy Dreamer last year, I thought, okay, Terry Funk's out, here comes Sandman.
And the way they presented it is like, and obviously Terry Funk would come back, and that's what it was, but it's like the way he presented it is like, you're waiting, and it's like Sandman, Sandman, everybody's waiting for it. Sandman would come later, but, you know, still.
Yeah.
So anything else about this match?
A lot of humping from Edge.
Yeah. Our next match, let me just check. I just want to make sure.
I believe the spot they were referring the Sandman in came between the next one and the main event.
Yeah, I just looked it up. It did. So our next match is Balls Mahoney versus Masato Tanaka.
Unfortunately, not as good as Mike Awesome versus Masato Tanaka.
Yeah, it's not as good, but still fairly enjoyable.
Still lots of hard-hitting shots to the head with chairs.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh. And God damn it, they showed Balls at... I think this is the finest match I've seen Balls actually wrestle.
Yeah, which, here's the thing about Balls Mahoney. The guy can actually wrestle.
Yeah. I still have to listen to that episode, but it is a very sad thing. Like, Balls Mahoney can actually wrestle.
It's just a shame that he's sort of gone down the drain the past few years.
Yeah.
I found it a very enjoyable match. Nice.
Yeah, it was very short, but very action-packed and enjoyable.
Yeah. It's one of those things to where, you sit back, and this is the good thing to where you, realize, wow, that was a good 10-minute match. I'm like, wait a minute, it was only 5 minutes?
That's a lot of action.
But it felt so much action, you felt like 10 minutes went by, as opposed to bad matches to where, it's dragging on.
Forever, and then it was like, that was only 2 minutes?
God damn it. In between our main event, Eugene comes out.
And he reads a poem.
Now, I have something to say about Eugene. I hate Eugene. Eugene may be the wrestler I hate the most. He's one of my most hated wrestlers
of all time. Which sucks because the guy playing him, Nick Dinsmore, is a very good wrestler.
I've seen Nick Dinsmore wrestle. That is indeed true.
No, but I'm only regarding to the Eugene character.
Yes.
The way they had the Eugene character reminded me a lot of the kids I had to spend time with, because in high school, I was part of the for those who don't know, I have autism. And so I had to be on the short bus and be in the classroom with the other disability kids.
People with disabilities much more severe than yours.
Yes. That Eugene reminded me a lot of. So, I don't know if I should be proud of this or should be ashamed of this, but when Sandman came out and caned him, that got the biggest pop of the night for me.
I just liked it because it was sort of Sandman saying, hey, fuck your cartoon gimmick.
Yeah, which that happened to be Sandman's gimmick in the new ECW. Fuck your cartoon gimmick.
And I remember at one point, he was caning him, then he just took a Singapore cane from just one random person standing around and just started beating him with two sticks.
Pretty much, yeah.
It was awesome.
Although this was the debut of Sandman's new theme song, which was not Enter Sandman. Now, if they couldn't get the Metallica rights, why didn't they just get the rights to the Motorhead version? They already are on good terms with Lemmy and Motorhead.
I don't know.
Lemmy would not have charged that much. You can't have.
Probably the same reason why they, again, 2007 One Night Stand, I was listening to it. The theme song was Famous by Puddle of Mud, and it's very obvious on the network that they changed it to a generic thing that sounds somewhat similar.
Some of these songs, they can't be that expensive to get rights to.
Well, maybe in a year or two when the network is doing well and they're not cannibalizing profits for the network, they can go back and get the rights.
Like, can we at least get Chris Jericho's proper WCW theme in his on the pay-per-views?
Yeah, can we do that?
Because Chris Jericho should not be entering fucking Spring Stampede to break the walls down.
I do get a kick out of that. I will admit, I laugh every time I see that.
That's like seeing the original fucking WrestleMania and hearing Real America when Hulk Hogan comes out.
Oh, God, that, yeah. They've been doing that since the DVD era, DVDs.
Yeah. Damn it, which WrestleMania?
The first one.
Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah.
Or at least put a sound-alike on there, not Real American.
Yeah. Anyway,
Or put American Made on there. something. Even though I think that might be even more anachronistic.
But anyway, so Sandman canes the shit out of fucking Eugene, and we all are happy.
We are happy in a happy place and ready for the main event.
Yes. So moving on to our main event, an Extreme Rules match for WWE Championship as RVD is cashing in his money in the bank as RVD faces John Cena. Now let's start off by talking about the entrances.
RVD has pyro.
Explain.
RVD has pyro during his entrance. You know, during the one of a kind, the thing where the pyro explodes around the Titantron.
Yeah, yeah.
It does that here.
Really?
You're going to complain about that?
Well, I think it's when to complain about that when Joey Styles went on for 5 minutes about Randy Orton having pyro.
And about Rey Mysterio having pyro, too.
So why is it okay for RVD to have pyro, but not the WWE guys?
D-Dub.
Because ECW.
Yeah. Forget it, Jake. It's Hollywood.
It's like ECW comes out with pyro. Oh, it's amazing. WWE comes out with pyro. Oh, look at that guy just grandstanding like a jackass.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, John Cena had the more ECW entrance.
He did.
Well, as ECW seemed to get for a guy that no one likes, I'll tell you that much. Ooh.
Ooh. Oh. I'll say.
To say that John Cena was not liked by the ECW faithful would be a gross understatement.
If you wanted to know what the ECW crowd was, when Randy Orton came out, there was a kid that pushed him, and he looked back, and he saw the kid, and the kid was, like, pushing himself up the rail, like, yeah, come on, let's fight, motherfucker, let's fight.
During Cena's entrance, that kid needed to be held back by three burly men.
They were ready to kill him.
By the way, just like last year, all the ECW favorites are in the crowd, I believe. Straw Hat Guy, Faith No More Guy, and Vlad.
And, of course, you had that nice little banner that said, if Cena wins,
we were on fire.
And out of all the if blank wins we riot, this is the only one where it was actually believable.
Yeah.
And just to bring it up, before Steen made it popular, there was a die, Cena, die, die, Cena, die chant that went during the match.
You can't. Let's go on the list. You can't wrestle. Check.
You can't wrestle, and then he does a wrestling maneuver. It was sweet.
And then as soon as he does that, they chant same old shit. But when RVD does the same move, they chant yay.
My personal favorite is when he like power bombs RVD off the rope. And it's like they're all impressed, and they go like, wait a minute, we can. You still suck!
They just won't let themselves ever admit that John Cena is a good wrestler.
Yes, it was glorious.
It was a glorious 2 seconds. It was a glorious 2 seconds of the crowd going, oh, you still suck! You still suck!
You suck. Oh, trust. He did actually bust out some new maneuvers, and he pretty much dominated RVD.
He did, like I said, it really felt like maybe John Cena was carrying this match.
I think he carried this match, and I think John Cena was really in an effort to try to prove, look at me carry this match, look at me prove that I can wrestle.
Yeah, and once again, John Cena proved that he proved that he could wrestle, despite what a lot of the hardcore fans would think, and there are still hardcore fans to this day who will not admit that John Cena can put on a good match.
Yeah. they were later proven wrong with Kevin Owens.
His match with Kevin Owens, his matches with CM Punk, mm-hmm. his match with Daniel Bryan, his match with Triple H, his matches with Shawn Michaels.
Matches with RVD, matches with Edge.
See, there's the difference between
Chris Jericho.
There's the difference between myself, T-Dub, and the rest of you folks. We actually see John Cena for what he is. A halfway decent wrestler who paired with the right gentleman could put off match of the goddamn night, maybe even match of the year.
And he's really from like 2011 till now, it's really been his prime.
Yeah. Ooh.
What, Mattis?
I'm just thinking about the matches he's done this year alone.
Yeah.
Although I will say one thing.
If in 2008, when you were screaming Cena sucks, if I told you, yeah, in 2015, he's going to be the must-see segment of Monday Night Raw, you would have laughed your ass off.
I will say that his worst...
I committed suicide.
I will say one thing, his worst year is probably 2007.
Yeah.
Because in 2007, he was every build-up ever. How could John Cena overcome the odds? He overcomes the odds in some way.
Yeah, I saw that proof with, you know, the great Khali.
Yeah, they're trying to make him this underdog, but he's this big, muscly guy. He's the franchise.
Yep.
If anyone if anyone goes up to him, they're the underdog.
I would say this, that after the WrestleMania of 2007, which I believe was 23,
yes,
if I'm mistaken, yeah. After that, after his feud with
Shawn Michaels
was done, that's when that bad part of, you know, started. Because it was things like the Great Khali, and then once he was about to start his feud with Randy Orton, unfortunately he gets injured and is out for the rest of the year.
But that's not until October. Before then, I remember there was a 5-man fatal match, and they just threw Mick Foley into there.
Yeah.
And shortly thereafter, Mick Foley was on commentary. He got tired of WWE and he ended up leaving for TNA about 6 months afterwards, I believe.
But still, this match, my God. And then, of course, the ending of that match, which, you know, Edge, who's in a motorcycle helmet. Though, oddly enough, if you actually watch that spear, they twist, and Edge is the one who really goes through
the
tape.
Yeah, he does. But I gotta ask, what point did Edge go under? Did he, like, come from under the ring?
I think so. That had to
be the only way. Either that, or they made sure no one knew the lanky fucker with the helmet.
Like, where did he come from? Like, I didn't see where.
Because God damn it, that helmet was huge.
Yes, it was.
There's no way he could have done any other way than, like, there had to be a trapdoor under the ring or something where he snuck in.
Maybe.
Unless they, like, turned the lights out for, like, 2 minutes and had him go under there.
Either that, or maybe they're during the build-up package, they turn the lights out just to have everybody focus on the Titantron, and maybe during that?
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah, there's a few ways to do it, yeah.
But, you know, he does
glorious.
That.
I didn't see it coming.
And then, you know, RVD hit the frog splash.
You forgot the most important part.
Oh, go ahead.
Thank you, Edge.
Thank you, Edge. No, actually, thank you, Edge. Thank you, Edge. Thank you.
Yeah, and yet, like, 35 minutes earlier, they were screaming, fuck you, Edge. Fuck you, Edge.
It's just all about, you see, the fans in New York, they can be very fickle.
They are, yeah.
Very fickle.
You can turn baby face just by slapping, just by spinning in John Cena's face nowadays, though.
So, that happens. RVD hits the 5-star frog splash. Now, here's actually the part that I thought they messed up on. They took too long with the whole SmackDown referee. I thought that as soon as RVD hit the frog splash, Paul Heyman should have been out there. Or on his way out there.
Right.
I know it's a little thing, but it's...
Hey, it's the little things, man. It's a little thing.
It's the dead air.
Yeah.
I thought you had something to say.
There's nothing else to say other than say, yeah, it happened. Moving on.
Now, I will say this. Do you think there was a missed opportunity in having John Cena win?
No. Also, stop being a Cena mark for a second and recognize Rob Van Dam won.
No. Yes, Rob Van Dam won, and for what they were doing with ECW, I kind of see where they're going. But my whole point of Cena winning wasn't because I want Cena to win. But, oh, my God, think of the imagery they could have had of that place rioting.
No, yes, the imagery wouldn't have been able to exist by WB Network standards because they wouldn't be able to air murders. That would have been murder. Murder, death, kill.
But my God, I wanted a riot. And I was denied a riot.
Because you're a John Cena, Mark.
Because I am a horrible human being and I like to see train crashes.
But to be fair, who doesn't?
And that's...
By the way, notice that when the SmackDown referee came out after the first referee got bumped because, you know, he was arguing with Cena, so Cena was like, fuck you, knocked out the ECW referee. Then the SmackDown referee came out. Note that it was Nick Patrick. The crooked...
The ECW ref.
The crooked NWO referee.
That added to it.
Then once he was knocked out, then Paul Heyman gingerly made his way out.
Yep. They're Jewish. They're the rabbi of hardcore.
The sling slong or schlong of the extreme.
And then I was like, one, yes, RVD definitely deserved to win the title because it was long overdue to him.
Yeah, he should have won the title back in 2002, really.
Yeah. Definitely deserved to win it. It was a great win. It was a great segment. And again, RVD put a guy over. I mean, John Cena put a guy over. Have to get that in there. especially considering we all agree that John Cena was pretty much carrying this match. And, you know, I thought it was a really enjoyable match.
Oh, yeah, for the most part, yeah.
Matty J?
Yes.
Agreed. Okay.
Matty J, the man
with... have you here on for the color commentary.
Matty J, the man with nothing to say.
I'm a man of few words.
So, before we get into final ratings and that stuff, we have to go through our usual jazz. Top three moments of the night. Maddie, we'll start with you since you're the man. Few words.
Number three, Lawler getting choked the fuck out by Taz. Just that got the crowd going. Number two, there was a promo that Paul Heyman cut at the very beginning of the pay-per-view. We didn't know what was going to happen later, but ECW returned, and he obviously was very happy that it was happening, and he cut a damn good promo to get everybody going. And, of course, the entrances. There's the entrance to the main event. All the love for Rob Van Dam, and no one in the building would be caught dead with a John Cena t-shirt unless they're taking a shit on it.
Okay, and I have some breaking news.
By the way, we've kind of forgot to bring it up.
Guys, I have breaking news.
Oh, go ahead.
Somebody who I'm following called Jagnarok just said, wow, The Rock showing up at a house show, electrifying.
I just saw that. I saw a video on Instagram of him giving the people's elbow. To Bo Dallas.
You see? WWE loves Bo Dallas.
Or they want to bury him so bad that they have to use The Rock to bury him.
No, but having him in the ring with The Rock, people are going to note that. They're like, hey, this guy was in the ring with The Rock. They must really have something behind him. They must have a lot of just
don't
confidence.
Don't you
believe it!
And to bring us back on track, you know, one thing we kind of forgot to mention, you know, speaking of that entrance, John Cena throwing the hat and the shirt in the crowd.
Yeah, that's my number one, right?
That's your number one?
John Cena couldn't get rid of a shirt if he tried to flush it down in Hammerstein Ballroom. No.
And go ahead.
You have people tossing it back. Camera goes to the next guy, catches it, spits the fuck out of it, throws it back.
That one of my favorites, the last time He throws it, guy like, puh, 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 and throws it, can't make it to the ring. Big black guy starts wiping his ass with it. It's like, yeah, I wipe my ass with it. Like, I'm looking at this guy like, really, motherfucker? You're on national TV.
And that's a moment.
In a suit.
It's a moment that has lived on forever and ever on the WWE Network.
Yep.
I wonder if you ever if these guys ever watched that back. Like, yep, I'm proud of myself. I did a thing.
Or yep, I'm an asshole.
Yeah.
So, T-Dub, what are your top three moments?
Proud of it.
Let's see, top three moments from me. Let's see, we have the Edge humping. We have the whole John Cena entrance. And we have what all in all was a very good spot of the DDT through the table with Sabu and Rey Mysterio.
Yeah. That was a good spot. That was the finish right there.
Yeah, despite it being a no contest finish, the actual spot itself looked really nice, and I'm surprised no one got hurt.
There were a lot of good spots in that match. You know, the senton through the table.
Yes.
By Rey Mysterio on Sabu. For me, number three, Eugene being caned.
Yeah.
The fuck out of him. just for me personally.
He caned the fuck out of the building.
And again, no disrespect to the actual wrestler who I've not got a chance to see him wrestle outside of the Eugene character, which I'm sure is a shame, and I probably could find it on Facebook, on YouTube, and I probably will at some point. But as regards to the Eugene character, yeah. I very much enjoyed seeing that caning. Number two, that John Cena entrance. Because, probably for a different reason than you guys, because while you're like, because no one was booing him, to me, as a John Cena fan, that just perfectly signifies everything that is what John Cena's hustle, loyalty, and respect is about. You know, nobody likes him in that building. He just keeps powering through like a champ. And number one, I have to agree that Rey Mysterio, Sabu DDT.
I'm honestly surprised that nobody, it's surprising that nobody picked RVD's tail celebration.
I mean, it was good, but it's just like, we're talking about the it's hard because you have to talk about moments that, you know, I make you go, holy shit. And everybody agrees with me, apparently.
Yes.
Yeah, we're... Why do you keep silence for us trying to say stuff? Like, we're you know...
Because I brought guest hosts on, and the point is a conversation. I say something, you say something. I say something, you say something.
Is that how these things work? I don't.
I had no idea that was the way we work. We just shoot the shit for like a few hours, and we just went on the thing, and apparently we've made 300 episodes of that.
Apparently, for me, is I keep reading your mind and saying everything you want to say.
Get out of my head.
So, top three matches of the night. Matty, we'll start with you.
Ooh, okay. Number three, Sabu Mysterio. That was a solid 9-minute match. I mean, finish-wise is probably the reason why it's not number two. Is number three not number two? Number two, I'm going to go with that tag team match for Big Show. Ruined it after. Just those sick kicks alone make it worth it. And the third one for me, I like that barbed wire filled match, but watching back and everything else, Cena versus Rob Van Dam, just for the pure spectacle of that crowd. You want to talk about a New Jersey, New York crowd? Just being not just being part of the show, but being the show. This is the prototype right there.
So, yep.
And that it helps that it was a great match. To boot.
Tito?
For me, number three would be the six-person intergender tag team match. Number two is Rob Van Dam versus John Cena. And number one, just for how much action they packed into those 9 minutes, despite everything, including the finish, Rey versus Sabu.
Yeah. For me, number three, Rey Mysterio versus Sabu, and only because if they had had a clean finish, it would be higher. It might even be number one. Mm. Number two, I'm actually surprised we have it in the same spot, Maddie. The tag team match between the Full-Blooded Italians and Tajiri and Super Crazy, just an absolutely excellent tag team.
That's what happens when you put four, I don't want to classify them as cruiserweights, but you got guys who could be qualified luchadors / Japanese dudes. They tear the house down.
Yep. And then number one, just again, spectacle. RVD versus John Cena. And just because it's amazing, like, this is actually the first time I've actually gotten to watch this match. And so I had this idea, like, oh, it was John Cena, and John Cena, who's still kind of young and that stuff, and RVD, he was a veteran, and RVD probably led him around. I was shocked to see John Cena carry the match. Damn shocked. And after seeing him carry the match and the way he wrestled, I'm like, I'm not mad that he lost the title. Because it's all storyline. If it was in any way, I would be mad, but I'm not.
And we also have to note that this is the first that someone cashed in Money in the Bank and saying, this is when I want the match, at this pay-per-view, at this time, and they won.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other thing is, it's also the second year in a row Money in the Bank has been cashed in on John Cena. And in fact, I do believe John Cena has had the most cash-ins on him.
Would not surprise me.
Because I do believe, let's see, RVD, Edge,
Sandow.
Sandow. Yeah. Sandow failed. Yep. Let's see. I don't know why I want to say Daniel Bryan, because I know Daniel Bryan was Big Show.
He cashed in on Big Show, but yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's it. Cashing on Bryan. Phew.
Ed stole it from CM Punk and cashed it in on Undertaker. No,
that was Mr. Kennedy.
Mr. Kennedy, I'm sorry. CM Punk cashed in on Hardy, and then he won it again. And who did he cash it in on that year?
Yeah, first CM Punk cashed in on Edge, then the next year he cashed in on Hardy.
Oh, it was first on Edge, then on Hardy.
On Jeff Hardy, yeah.
Yeah. So, and then, of course, there was Jack Swagger, who cashed in on Jericho. Yeah. So, yeah, but it's just an epic match. And again, also RVD winning, and that sight of them, you know, with the title was great.
And of course, when they announced that he won, Bob Ortiz announced that he was the new ECW champion.
ECW champion, yeah.
No, and that wasn't Bob Ortiz. That was the other ECW announcer.
That wasn't Bob Ortiz?
No, Ortiz only did 05.
Then who's the announcer this year?
Hold on, I got it. Stephen DeAngelis.
That was the one, yeah. Huh. DeAngelis did all of One Night Stand 05 except for the main event, which was Bob Ortiz. And DeAngelis did all of 06.
I wonder why they didn't get Bob Ortiz. He was the voice of ECW. Aside from Joey Styles.
Thank you.
Well, they could have done worse.
That's true.
They could have gotten the lovable Stub Muffin.
I'm still mad at how they used him at One Night Stand 05.
Oh, God. Why did they have to talk to Welcome is all I'm going to say.
I guess we'll never know.
If you want to see what he said, what he had in mind for One Night Stand, go to the Hardcore Homecoming from the ECW arena that from 05. God damn.
Yep.
That's all I'm gonna say. If you've seen it, you know.
I still have yet to actually watch that show.
You have to correct that, my friend.
I haven't seen that show, so I have to correct that too.
I have the DVD. It was actually I actually asked for a One Night Stand for Christmas that year, and they got me that and Hardcore Homecoming.
Didn't Hardcore Homecoming also come with Forever Hardcore documentary?
That's the one.
I have seen that documentary.
So, final ratings. Maddie, we'll start with you.
4 out of 5. A lot of great action. It would have been 4.5 out of 5 if Mysterio versus Sabu in a squabble finish, in a dusty finish. Sorry, but no, it's a solid 4 out of 5, and it's one of those must see pay per views.
But I have to note this: when I originally watched this show, I watched a part of it with my dad, and when Sabu knocked out Rey Mysterio, my dad thought that the champion's knocked out, which means we have a new champion. I'm like, no, it's a draw. And he's like, what? Yeah, rules of wrestling can be wonky.
Yeah.
Wrestling's weird.
Teed up.
Just like to say that.
Yeah. Cone of silence. that awkward point to where we both speak at the same time and then we're waiting for the other. TWK, do you want to give you a rating?
I'll give the show a 3.5 out of 5.
I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5, too. Again, the wonky finish with Mysterio, Sabu. The negativity. And I understand it's an ECW crowd, but just, like, again, I feel like I'm being unfair, but at the same point in time, just the positivity of 2005, and then you have the negativity here, and it's just, like, it didn't feel as good. Though it was funny to watch. I guess last but not least, the fact that I was denied murder. Because I paid to see a fucking riot, motherfucker.
Mattis.
No, Mattis. You didn't pay for a riot. You just saw the riot and go, I want to see a riot.
Mattis, if you ever want murder, then just wait for a cop to murder the next black guy.
They already did.
Yeah. Once again, unarmed.
And yes, in Baltimore. Yes, we know. Well, of course, the information on that is that he was in the home of a woman who had a restraining order against him and was threatening her.
I guarantee if he was white, he wouldn't have died.
This is not the podcast to talk about this.
I know, it just made a lot of people listening feel very awkward.
Yes, thank you.
It's what I love.
Maddie, you want to handle your broski here?
Hey, back up, broski, back up. Woo, woo, woo!
Wait a minute. So, by the way, which one of you is Zach and which one of you is Mojo?
Oh, I'm Zach because I'm skinnier.
Well, fuck you, dude! Fat choke my ass. Besides, I'm not hyped. I do. I am hyped. I just don't stay as hyped. I think that's a heart condition.
No. I know what we're hyped for. We are hyped for this July 4th at 5:30 a.m. in the fucking morning.
I'm not staying up for that.
Nothing about staying up. I am waking up early to watch that.
I am seriously considering doing that myself.
Yeah, I'm going to go to sleep early, and I'm going to watch it. It's on a Saturday. To watch Finn Balor versus Kevin Owens in fucking Japan.
And, you know, speaking of murder, we might actually see the legalized murder of Kofi Kingston. Okay, what's the over-under on how many suplexes he has to eat before he actually has to take an F5 and win?
Oh, you mean the over-under, we're actually betting on how many suplexes he'll take?
Yeah. No bets. Just, what do you think the over-under is going to be?
12.
Yeah, I'll go with 13.
30.
And we're playing by Price is Right rules.
So closest wins.
Yeah, closest without going over.
Closest retail number of suplexes without going over wins the showcase.
So if it goes over 13, you win.
No, if it goes over 13, then if it goes over 13, I win. Or you win. And if it goes over 13, then you'd be the closest, Mattis.
Just as long as it has to go over 30 or it has to be close
to
30.
No, the rules of showcase is you have to get the closest to the number without going over that number.
You know, the one of you bids close to the actual retail price of that item wins.
So if it goes, so if it's 29, I win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's clarifying.
Yes.
And we'll bring Matty J back in to tell us how much he loves Eva Marie again.
Oh fuck you! That was not the bet, and you know it. I Ben, that was no bet. We're just doing an over under here.
Wait a minute, TWK.
Don't make me. I just want to enjoy Brock Lesnar legally murdering Kofi Kingston in Japan.
But T-Dub, I do finally remember us talking on an episode recently of WrestleCast, you know, before the show, of, you know, Maddie saying, you know, he's not that bad because he heard that she's been getting better in the ring.
She has, technically speaking.
And you're admitting this on a publicized podcast. That takes a lot of courage, dude.
Well, here's the thing. Fuck you. I walked in and like a freaking rake, you son of a bitch.
You went right into that one. Thank you very much.
God damn it.
This is the last time Matty J will ever be a guest of my show. But with that being said, Matty J, TWK, thank you guys for coming on.
Always glad to be here.
It's a pleasure, asshole.
Do you want to let people know where they can find? Because it is kind of difficult to find your show these days.
It is because of RVD Entertainment's. The .com is gone. But we are on Podomatic.com, Podomatic.com/WrestleCast.
No, it's the WrestleCast.Podomatic.com.
The WrestleCast.Podomatic.com. Otherwise, you can follow us on Facebook. We still have a Facebook page for RVT, so we always put stuff up there and all that good stuff.
It's a lot better just to follow Matty J on Twitter at MattyJ316.
Yeah. I always post a link up there for sure.
And you can, of course, follow TWK and his videos on YouTube.
Yep, you can follow me on Twitter at TWKOfficial. And subscribe to me, TWK Reviews, on YouTube at YouTube.com/TheWWEKiller.
And, of course, if you have any emails or comments for this show, remember you can email at AbsolutionNetwork132@gmail.com, AbsolutionNetwork132@gmail.com. And, of course, we're on Stitcher. We are on Facebook at Absolution Network. And, of course, it's right here at the site, www.an.132productions.com. A lot of great things coming up on 132 Productions. You know, right now I have out a new episode of CMG's Wrestling Reviews, as of this recording, which, you know, by the time this comes out will be irrelevant. But I also have my con video for Anime Next 2015, which features interviews with Todd Happercorn, Charles Dunbar, and Tyson Reinhart, and, of course, includes a couple of special little video segments, one of which Matty J has seen.
Hey, speaking of videos, I did actually did a crossover with our good buddy Easy Rider, and I'm not going to spoil what the video was, but it is something Toku related, and it is something wrestling related. Part one's already up there. I assume you're laughing because you know exactly what it is because you saw part one.
But I also saw the Twitter.
Ooh. To quote the Twitter, Easy and I did a thing. You regret nothing? Well, almost nothing.
Is this on YouTube, by the way?
It's on Daily Motion.
Daily Motion, okay.
And it's on the website as well.
I just found it. Let's see. Absolution Network presents Anime Next 2015 Part 1.
Yes. Part 1. We're going to have Part 2 out sometime next
week. So you put all your
week.
Interviews into Part 1.
Actually, no. We didn't have room for them. So there's one more interview where the interview is going to be Greg Hauser. Give me a second. I have the list right here. Hold on just a second. No, I don't want the DJs. Bill Rogers, Greg Hauser, and Mark Stint actually joins it halfway through.
Cool.
Mark Stint, of course, you know, does work with Anime Abandon and also with DBZ Abridge. So we have that, and of course, I will also be showing like the first 10 minutes of two of my panels, along with some other little video clips that we did. So that's part two. That will be coming out next week, and of course, I will be at Otakon 2015, July 23rd. To the 27th, I believe it is. So we'll have more content coming out of there. Starting in July, I'm going to be doing Superhero Month for the Absolution Network. I'm finally getting that done, pushed back a couple of months. So a lot of stuff coming up. And, of course, all our friends on the sidebar, Maddie Jane TWK and the WrestleCast, Michael Bailey and Views from the Long Box, Spidey Dude and the Clone Saga Chronicles, many more. So thank you once again, 50 episodes. Thank you for joining me for them. I think everybody who listens to me, you know, I'm just the best Jew in the world doing the best I can because I'm the best at what I do. And Matty J.
By the way, Jericho invented that.
But I perfected it.
Jericho invented you perfecting that.
With an arm bar!
Jericho invented that. This is going to be a Simpsons did it joke. You might as well move on.
Yeah. Maddie J, TWK, thank you once again, guys.
Pleasure is ours.
Always happy to be here.
Yipper.
And until next time, as we go on the road to episode 100, that'll happen in another year and a half. Till next time, my wrestling fans, I want you to remember one goddamn thing about me. CM Jew. I'm the best Jew in the world!
You're all that I have and you're all that I need. Each and every day I pray to get to know you. Please wanna be close to you. Yes, I'm so hungry. You're like water for my soul when it gets thirsty. Without you, there's no me or the air that I breathe. Sometimes the world is dark and I just can't see. With these demons around, all around, I bring me down to negative vibes. But I believe, yes, I believe, I said I believe. I stand among two feet, one be brought down on one knee. I fight with all of my might and get these demons to flee. Hashem's rays, fire blaze, burn bright in, I believe. Hashem's rays, fire blaze, burn bright in, I believe. Out of darkness comes light, twilight unto the heights. Crown lights burning up, out of the twilight. So thank you to my God, now I finally got it right. And I fight with all of my heart and all of my soul and all of my mind. I give myself to you from the essence of my being and I sing to my God. Songs of love and healing, I want Mashiach now. Time it starts a feeling. What's this feeling? My love will be holy in the ceiling. I give myself to you from the essence of my being and I sing to my God. Songs of love and healing, I want Mashiach now. Stripping away the layers and reveal your soul. You gotta give yourself up and then you become whole. You're a slave to yourself and them don't even know. Them wanna live that fast life, but you're dreaming.